This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا
القرآن. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. We continue with our program, Fiqh of Business Transactions, and I just would like to start tonight with this kind of sale, because last time I talked about it, and it was not really clear for to some brothers. They were not clear about this type of sale, which is called Bay' al-'Ina in Arabic. You can translate it as buyback sale. And there are some different agreements in the Western world and in some Muslim countries that are based on this sale. So here this is a clear example. So we have Ahmed who bought a car from Ali with a price of $800 of on installment, on a deferred payment basis. And Ali, who is the same owner of the car, he bought the car, the same car from Ahmed on a cash basis with a price of $600. So the end result would be what? Would be that Ahmed got the amount of 600 in his hand, cash in his hand, and Ali will receive the deferred payment of $800. So it looks like a loan of 600, and 200 is an interest, is the amount of interest. So it is a hila, it is stratagem, the trick that some people might use to consume riba, to deal with riba. And that's why yani, all the ulama, they said if it is pre-arranged this way, then it is haram, and it is a type of riba. The controversy is only if there is no pre-arrangement. There is no pre-arrangement between the two parties, then here that could be halal in the opinion of some scholars. So yani, as you can see, the car has stayed with the original owner, who is Ali, and now he owes Ahmed $800, and he gave him $600. It looks like, subhanAllah, an interest-based transaction. But because there is controversy about it, so it's used in some countries like Malaysia. Malaysia, they follow the Shafi'i madhab, Shafi'i school of thought. And in the Shafi'i school of thought, they said this, if there is no pre-arrangement or, you know, it's controversial. But they said it could be halal, because the form of transaction, there is nothing wrong with the form of transaction, but the other scholars are looking at the substance, at the end result of the transaction. So they have something called in Malaysia sale and buyback agreement, SBBBA. And they call it an Islamic financial instrument. Of course, they've been criticized for using this. Now they are trying to introduce some adjustments, some changes to their system, to conform with the rest of the Muslim world. But it's been used for a while in Malaysia, and they said it was introduced for the purpose of enhancing liquidity between Islamic banks, because they don't have it's something called interbank money market. Banks overnight lend to each other when they need money, because every bank at every day, at the end of every day, they have to calculate their money, how much they have, and now it's easy with the new technology. And they have a ratio of capital that they have to keep in the bank. There is a requirement now, universal requirements that are applied to all banking systems in the whole world. So Islamic banks, they don't have this market. They cannot borrow money from the non-Islamic banks, because the other conventional banks will charge them interest if they borrow money from them. They want to adjust, you know, their capital overnight. Every night they have to adjust their capital. So they came up with this tool where they sell securities to each other. One bank would sell securities which are bonds, but in this case Islamic bonds. They are called sukuk. They are not like the conventional bonds, or equities. So they sell them securities, and then they have an agreement with them to buy them again. So Anyway, it was used in Malaysia because one brother said, oh, people are not using this sale nowadays. Here in Canada, in the Canadian market, it is an open market operation that is used by the Bank of Canada. The Central Bank of Canada would sell securities to charter banks today and would have an agreement with them to buy them from the same bank the next day, tomorrow. And it is done for the purpose of controlling the supply of money in the market and the controlling the rate of interest, the interest rates. If the money is less in the market, is not enough in the market, so they would increase, you know, they would sell securities or buy securities from the banks, for example, and give them money, so the supply of money will increase and then the interest rate will be reduced and vice versa. So it is a monetary policy tool that is used here in the Canadian market. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. But it could happen in the form of ina if the prices are different, and if also the one of the, you know, arrangement is based on a deferred payment, then it could be clear ina, the sale of ina. طيب, tonight we will talk a little bit about Musharaka. Do you have any question about this before we continue? Well, we'll leave the question till the end. What do you think? Till the end? طيب. Let's talk a little bit about Musharaka tonight. Partnership. So Musharaka is frequently used in the context of Islamic modes of financing nowadays. And it is a bit different from the word or the term Sharika or Shirka, which is commonly used in the classical sources of fiqh, in the sources of Islamic jurisprudence. Okay? And shirka or sharika, it means in Arabic, or the linguistic meaning of sharika is sharing. Okay? But we have in the terminology of Islamic fiqh, Islamic jurisprudence, we have two types of sharika. We have sharikatul amlak and sharikatul uqud. So sharikatul amlak is joint ownership. And this could be the outcome of an agreement, like some people, two people come together, they agree to buy a property. So they own it. They are not going to invest this property. There is no investment taking place. But they own this property. Two brothers decided, methane, to buy a house for their mother, for example. They are the owners of this house, both of them. So this is called Sharikatul Amlak, joint ownership. And their mother is using the house, and they're not investing, putting any investment in this house. It could be the outcome of inheritance. You have no choice. You belong to a family, the head of the family passed away, and then you ended up being a partner to someone else. Some other family members could be included in this group of family members who actually have the right to inherit the wealth of this man, of this person who passed away. So here we got a joint ownership. But they didn't choose it. It was not based on their choice. It was because of inheritance. So this is called in fiqh sharikatul amlak. Or a donation. Someone would give a gift. Give his house as a gift to his children, for example, or to a group of family members. And then they will be partners in that, in owning that house. So this is not used. It's not a problem. It's not an issue. This is not commonly used in fiqh. In fiqh, they talk about the other type of sharikat, which is called sharikat al-uqud. Al-uqud means contracts. And ulama, they said it is a partnership that is affected by mutual contracts. So two people or more come together and they make a contract to participate in a partnership. And it could be translated as joint commercial enterprise. They come together and they establish a business together. So here we have many rules. You know, the other ones have some rules too, But this one, the fuqaha who talked about musharaka, partnership in Islamic finance, are more interested in this kind of sharika, sharikat al-uqud. And this one is divided into three types or three kinds. The first one is sharikat al-inan, and is very common, very famous. And all the ulama, they said this one is permissible, where all the partners invest some capital, and they participate in running the business, and they agree to share the profit between them. As simple as that. And they call it Sharikat al-Inan, and all the scholars said this is halal. They disagreed on some conditions, but basically this is halal, there is the agreement between them. Sharikat al-A'mal, partnership in labor or crafts. So the group of people come together, they work jointly. They work together in one place. They offer services to their client. They are accountants, or they are medical doctors, or they are hairdressers, and they are doing something together. They are working in the construction business too, the same thing. This is called Sharikat al-A'mal. And they charge some fees. And they share the earnings between them. So Jumhur al-Ulama, majority of scholars, said this partnership, kind of partnership, is halal. There is nothing wrong with that. Even though we know that some of them will be doing some work than the other members. But they said it is halal, even though at the end they will share the earnings equally, or based on their agreements, but it is halal. Shafi'i, rahmatullah alayhi, did not agree. He said, no, this is not halal because there is too much gharar, excessive gharar here, included in this partnership, because some people, some members of this partnership, could be doing more work than the other members of this enterprise. So, but majority of scholars, they said it's halal, and many people are doing it. You find brothers who are hairdressers or medical doctors, or friends who are medical doctors. They open a clinic together, and they work together, and they share the earnings at the end of the month, for example, or at the end of the year. It depends on their agreement. The third type is called the and this one is called also Sharikat al-Taqabbul or Sana'i'. Okay, and in case you read a book of fiqh and you want to do some research about it, it's called also Sharikat al-A'mal, Sharikat al-Abdan. In fiqh, these are Arabic terms. Sharikat al-Taqabbul, Sharikat al-Sana'i'. Sharikat al-Wujuh, it's like partnership in credit worthiness. Partners don't have money, but they got together and they established a company. They don't have a capital. And they buy goods based on their personal credit worthiness, so they don't pay immediately. And they take this merchandise, they sell it, and they agree to share the benefits or the profits between them. Also, Imam Shafi'i and some other scholars have problems with this sharika, and some scholars, they said it is halal, it should be fine. But they said an agreement, they have to have an agreement about the liability of each partner in what they buy. If I buy something, I partner with Ahmed or Ali, and I buy something, I buy it myself, he didn't buy it, and I am selling it. If there is a loss, how much, what is the ratio of his liability in this loss? And what is the ratio of my liability in this loss? Then we lost 10,000. Who is going to take care of this 10,000? Who is going to pay it? So now they said they have to have an agreement. Everyone has to know his share of liability in loss if they lose money. Otherwise, this sharika will not be valid. It used to be very common in the old days. Now people, I don't think people would. Now let's talk a little bit about some basic rules of musharaka. So the ulama, they said these conditions have to be there, otherwise the musharaka or partnership is not valid. The first one, they said the ratio of profit must be agreed upon at the time of effecting the contract. When you start, when you establish the sharika, when you sign the agreement, you have to agree on the ratio of the profit. If we make a profit, how much you make? How much you take? You take 60%, 50%, 40%. I take 20%, you take 80%. So we have to make an agreement before we start, at the time of effecting the contract of this partnership, when we sign it. The second rule, they said it is not allowed to fix a lump sum amount for any one of the partners. For example, you are my partner, and I'll guarantee every month I give you 5,000. This is not possible. This is not halal. You cannot guarantee him a lump sum amount of profit. You cannot do that. Otherwise, it would be like riba. He's bringing his capital into this business, and you're trying to guarantee an amount of money, of profit for him. He can't. Because the business can what will happen? Lose. And then how come? From where are you going to pay him this money? So you cannot guarantee your partner or any partner a lump sum of money. If you want to give him a salary for his services, that's a different story. We'll talk about it. There's a difference between guaranteeing an amount of money to one of the partners and between giving him a salary, appointing him as an agent or as a manager to the business. You are a sleeping partner. You don't want to be involved. And he wants to be the manager. And you want to give him a salary, that's okay, that's fine. That's a different story. This is halal. The ulama, they said it is not allowed to tie up any rate of profit with the amount of one's investment. You tell him, we will give you 20% of your investment. That will be your profit, of your investment. No, it should be 20% of all, the whole profit. But you cannot tell him 20% of your what you invest, or 5% or 10% of what you invest. That will be your profit. So what is the correct method? There should be an agreed percentage of the actual profit accrued to the business. 20%, 30%, whatever. Any amount taken by one of the partners, this is something many people do it, shall be subject to the final settlement at the end of the term. It should be adjusted to the actual profit. Mathalan, he is taking every month 1,000 or 2,000. He has a family and he needs some money. But this is not his salary. He's taking 2,000. So at the end of the year, you're going to the final settlement, calculate your money, you do your math, and you see how much profit you made. So you found out that you made 100,000. And your agreement is that he should take care, he should take 40% of the profit. So how much is profit? 40,000. But he's been taking 2,000, 3,000 every month to spend it on his family. So for 12 months he took 24,000. So you do 40,000 minus 24, what is the rest? 16, you give him 16,000. That is your profit, the rest of your profit. It was not a salary. But if you want to give him a salary, you have to make a separate agreement. It is not part of the partnership, not part of the partnership or the musharaka. No, separate agreement. Like you hire someone else. If you want to hire someone else instead of him, he's not a partner, an outsider, you hire him as a manager. We have people who came together, they established a company, and they don't want to manage the business. But they want to hire someone else, an outsider. Yes, they give him a salary. So if they decide to hire one of the partners, that should be his salary should be separate than the agreement of the, of how much profit he would make or how much percentage he would take from the profit. So let's talk a little bit about ratio of the profit. The ulama had this question, is it necessary that the ratio of the profit of each partner conforms to the ratio of capital invested by him? Like for example, he is investing 40% of the capital is coming from A, and 20% is coming from B person, and C person is bringing to the capital, the musharaka 20%, so we have three partners here. For example, should we give A 40% of the profit and 20% of the profit goes to B, and 20% another 20% goes to C. So we have different opinions here. Imam Malik and Shafi'i, they said each partner gets a profit exactly equivalent to the proportion of his investment, which doesn't make sense, because some partners could be more skillful. They will bring more expertise, more experience. They are more trained, well-trained. So they're bringing something extra to the partnership. So it's not fair to give them like the exact amount of their investment. They could deserve more. They're investing 20% of the capital, bringing 20% of the capital. But they have more skills, more training, they are highly educated. So they bring value to the business. So this opinion does not make sense. Imam Ahmad, he said, the ratio of the Prophet may differ from the ratio of investment based on their agreement and free consent. They are free to agree on any ratio. There are no restrictions on their agreement here. Imam Abu Hanifa has a good opinion, rahmatullahi alayhi. He said, the ratio of the Prophet may differ from the ratio of investment. However, the share of any sleeping partner cannot exceed the ratio of his investment. He's bringing 20% into the capital of the company, and he's asking for 30% of the profit, as a percentage of the profit. No, we cannot give him that, because his share in the company is only musharaka, partnership in the company, is what he brought to the company, 20% of investment, that's it. He's not bringing any knowledge, any expertise, any service to the company. So, and this is the best opinion, wallahu ta'ala a'lam, that he cannot exceed. So if someone, is bringing 80% of the capital, 80% to the partner, to the musharaka, and the other partner is bringing 20%, but the other partner who is bringing 20%, he is the one who will be managing the business and not taking a salary. So it's not fair here to give the other one more than 80%, or give him even 80% is not fair here. So the share of the second one could be increased. Wallahu ta'ala alam. So there be no... If you have a question, Brother Fadi, leave it till the end. Taib, sharing of loss. Each partner shall suffer the loss exactly equivalent to the ratio of his investment. This is something that is agreed upon. And the ulama, they said, any condition contrary to the contrary shall render the contract invalid. There is complete consensus on this principle. Ibn Qudama in Al-Mughni, he said there is complete consensus on this. And unfortunately, we see some Muslim companies, as I said, I'm not going to mention names, but they have this kind of business, especially in the area of housing. When the share of the customer exceeds 50%, then if they sell the property, he will bear 90% of loss. This knowledge I got it from their customers, their clients. That's why I shouldn't mention any name. But this is something that is done in the market. I need to pay attention to it. So the ulama, they said, each partner shall suffer the loss exactly equivalent to the ratio of his investment. I don't know if there is another opinion, but Imam Ibn Qudama in Al-Mughni said there is ijma', there is consensus on this. Wallahu ta'ala alam. So they have this famous maxim, Al-Qa'id Al-Fiqhiyya. Profit is based on the agreement of the parties, but loss is always subject to the ratio of investment. Clear? So profit is always subject or based on the agreement of the parties. Whatever they agree on should be affected. And they have to write it down so they don't face problems in the future and disputes and hard feelings and issues. You have to write down everything. But loss is always subject to the ratio of investment. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. طيب, nature of the capital. All the ulama, some of them, they said it has to be in the form of cash, the capital. And all of them prefer that partners must contribute their capital in liquid form. It has to be cash. But what about if they contributed commodities to the partnership? Here we have some disagreement between the scholars. Imam Malik and some Hanbali jurists from the Hanbali school of thought, they said the liquidity of the capital is not a condition for the validity of the musharaka. That means if some partners bring commodities to the capital, their musharaka is still valid. So they don't have to transform their commodities into cash. They don't have to liquidify their commodities and bring cash into the capital, into the musharaka. But they said the share of each partner has to be determined on the basis of evaluation. Yani their commodities have to be evaluated according to the market price on the time, on the day they signed the contract. Let's say we are signing today a contract, three partners are signing contract today, and Ahmed is bringing with him three cars. We want to open a car dealership, establish a car dealership. Ahmed is bringing three cars, Hamza or Ayub is bringing five cars, and Ali is bringing, like, for example, six cars. Well, we got at the end around 12 or 13 cars, and we want to start a business of selling cars. Now, some ulama, they said, no, this is not a capital. It has to be in the form of cash. Cash is king, right? So it has to be in form of cash. Some ulama, like Imam Malik, they said, no. The musharaka is valid, but these cars have to be evaluated. We have to know the prices of these cars. So Ali brought three cars. We have to know their prices on the same day. How much? What is their prices? If it is like 10,000, so that is his capital. That is his investment. That is the ratio of his investment, 10,000. And Ayub, he brought six cars or seven cars, and their value at that time on that day is 20,000. That is his contribution to the capital. And so on. We work it this way. And this is the opinion of Imam Malik and some other scholars. Abu Hanifa and Imam Shafi'i, Imam Ahmad, they said no. They don't agree with that. They said no contribution in kind is accepted. No commodities are accepted when we form the capital, when we establish the musharaka. Imam Shafi'i has an opinion that is a bit, we have to pay attention to it, kind of delicate. He divided the amwal, commodities, into two types. ذوات الأمثال وذوات القيمة. ذوات الأمثال, they are fungible. In English, they are called fungible. They are easily exchangeable. Like if I borrow from you 100 kg of wheat, okay, and I promise to bring you, to give it to you back within, like, give them back to you within like a month or so. I don't have to bring the same 100 kg of wheat. Actually, I consume them. So they are actually easily exchangeable. You can go to the market, buy another 100 kg of wheat, and bring it back to you. So these are called al-amwal, ذوات الأمثال in Arabic. ذوات الأمثال, they are fungible items or fungible commodities. He said, yes, with this kind of commodities, we can accept them when establishing a musharaka to be part of the capital. This is the opinion of Imam Shafi'i. But the other ones, they are called in Arabic, ذوات القيمة. ذوات القيمة, they are not fungible. They are not exchangeable. Like, مثلا, a house. House has its own specification, design, different from the other houses. So if I take this house from you and I destroyed it, مثلا, for whatever reason, or I did something with it, I cannot look to the market, go to the market and look and bring to you the same house and say, okay, here is another house, but it is the same. So don't worry about it. We cannot do that because they are not the same. Or even when it comes to cars, مثلا, even if they are from the same make or the same year, cars have different conditions. My car could be very clean, even though it is the same year and the same make and everything, but your car could have some issues, some deep issues in the engine, right? So there is no, you cannot compare between the two cars here. So they are not ذوات الأمثال, they are not fungible. That's why the Imam Shafi'i said with these types of commodities, we cannot establish a partnership, a musharaka. Many ulama, they said, to make it easy to people, there is no clear, evidence from the sunnah. But they said, if we need to go with the opinion of Imam Malik, it's okay, it's acceptable. As long as we agree on the value of their commodity, on the same day we established the musharaka. The management, I talk about it, the management. When they manage the business, if all of them are involved in the management of this musharaka, then everyone is an agent on behalf of the other partners. What does it mean? An agent is not liable to any loss. It's not like someone who takes loan from other people. Because when you take loan from other people, you have to secure this loan and you have to give it them to them back, even if you lose in your business. They have nothing to do with your loss. They have nothing to do with your business. They gave you a loan, you give it back to them. But when you are acting as an agent of someone else, so you are not dhamin, you are not liable to any loss unless there is negligence. If there is an accusation of negligence here, we could end up with a lawsuit, with a dispute in the court. If the other party does not agree that there was negligence. So these cases might go to the court and people have to deal with this dispute. But as at least when we establish our partnerships, we do business together, these rules have to be clear in the mind of everyone. And I know people who did business together and they were taking money without writing down anything. And then they came to me and we sit down, we try to solve the issue. I remember I gave you the day. You remember that day I gave you $500 cash? Could you put it in your pocket? You remember that day when I paid this for you? And subhanAllah, big mess. They create a big mess. And then when subhanAllah, when there is a dispute, they stop talking to each other, stop saying salam to each other. And then either they come to the masjid to solve it, or they go to the court. But if we do our job, we do our homework, we write everything, and these rules are clear, then inshallah, we will have no issues. I know people who started business like this, partnership, but nothing was clear in their minds. Is it mudaraba? Or it is musharaka? What are the rules? So after a while, he started paying back some investors, and the rest of the investors didn't take their money. It's a big mess. A big mess. Because we don't know what we are doing. And we just want to do business without, you know, learning about the fiqh of, you know, business transactions. We need to know these things. Like salat, like siyam. You want to observe fasting, you need to do how, you know, to learn how to fast. You need to perform your prayer, you need to learn how to pray. Or make wudu. It's the same thing. Because if we don't know these rules, we might end up taking something that doesn't belong to us, or dealing with riba without paying attention. Like al-eena here. Bay al-eena. Tayyib. I'll open the floor for your, give you a chance now. We have 15 minutes today. So your questions. And sisters, if you have a question, you can write it down and send it to us. We'll deal with it, inshallah. Tawadhal akhi.
Sorry. I have one question. When you said the sum cannot be fixed, right? My question was, I know like a store owner, and then he pays the rent, he rents it from someone. So the agreement between that is, if he has to give 20% of the profit, or if he doesn't make enough, like let's say he doesn't make $5,000, he has to pay a fixed amount of $1,000. Is that okay?
He's renting a place from someone?
Yes.
And then the agreement is that he has to pay him 20% of the profit?
If it is, let's say the profit is more than
$10,000, okay,
he has to pay 20%.
Every month.
Every month. Or if it's less than 10,000, then he has to pay a fixed amount of, let's say, $1,000.
Yeah. I don't believe this is a right agreement. Why? Because there is no certainty. There is gharar here. No certainty. He might be paying 1 month 1,000 only, and the other month he might be paying, like, let's say if he made 20,000 as a profit, he might end up paying 4,000. What's the difference? Why would I pay for this month 1,000 for renting the same property, and the other month I'll end up paying 3,000 or 4,000, 2,000? What's the difference? So there is gharar. This is excessive gharar. And this agreement is not right. It's not valid.
It's kind of a question from before. For the phone contracts, like they have penalties. Are they considered riba?
Penalty is a pure riba, but the problem is these are adhesion contracts. Yani عقود الإذعان. And the ulama, they said you have no choice.
Prepaid.
Yeah, you can, but the problem is with signing. I know you are not paying the penalty, and you try to avoid it. Try to pay on time, like مثلا using credit card, the same concept here. Or buying a car through financing, they will put this penalty in the agreement. So penalties, these penalty clauses are everywhere. And these contracts, as I said, adhesion contract, عقود الإذعان, have nothing to, you have no say, unless you have the power to negotiate with the company, tell them, can you remove this condition, this penalty clause, then it will be fine. But the problem with signing, as a Muslim, the ulama, they said, why, مثلا, using a credit card is controversial. They know that a Muslim, practicing Muslim, will not pay interest, will try to avoid paying interest. But the problem with signing, it's like you are agreeing to their terms, right? So here, these are, they said, the ulama who talked about these issues, said people cannot live without electricity, without utilities. They have to subscribe to these companies.
I'm asking about the things that are not electricity. I'm talking about things that have subsidy.
مثلا?
The mobile phones you have, you can do the prepaid.
The prepaid, يعني they will take automatically from your account.
No, I pay upfront.
Oh, okay, that's good. It's a good solution.
So in that case,
Yeah, that would be good if you do it this way. Like now, using credit card, we have now prepaid credit cards.
Yeah, exactly.
Preloaded, they are called preloaded.
Visa,
debit. So there is no excuse to use the other type of credit cards now.
It doesn't work
out. As a Visa? Yeah, but there are, you know, beside the debit that you are talking about now, TD is issuing debit, Visa, we have credit cards, pure credit cards. They are not debit cards, and they are preloaded. I know that. I know that. But it's better than the other agreement. Now? No, fees. Fees are for us, for services. Yes, brother?
You said that the general principle of profit is, should be based on agreement and loss is based on percentage of investment. Can you put an agreement actually about what loss is? Put an agreement for loss?
To change the loss, Yanni?
Yeah, to change,
the percentage?
Yeah, in other words, other than reinvestment. Then it would be based on.
An agreement?
Yeah.
But the ulama, they said any agreement that is not compatible with this rule, then the contract is not valid. This is what I got it from some scholars who were quoting Imam Ibn al-Qudama in his book Al-Mughni. It's a big source of fiqh. We have a copy here. He said there is ijma', this is what he said. Even all the members are happy with it, satisfied?
Yeah.
Allahu alam. Based on what they said, that no. Loss should be based on the percentage of the investment. Allahu ta'ala alam. If there is another opinion, we can look into it, but this is what some ulama said, that there is an agreement between the scholars that this should be the case.
I assume it's okay to put a condition that some percent of the profits will be reinvested in the company?
So yeah, you can do that, yeah. You can do that. So the brother, he said, can we have an agreement that some percentage of the profit be reinvested in the company? Yeah, you can do that, no problem.
Now this regarding the Visa card, you know, if you prepaid also, the Visa card has another kinds of riba because of like the company, say for example, like buy something from the company. So the Visa company has to get 2% from the owner.
No, this is not. Ulama have studied all these issues, and they said these are fees of a service. It's not something that was agreed upon. But a group of ulama, they said these are fees paid by the shop owner because they are giving him a service. Actually, they are facilitating the business transactions between him and his clients. So this is a servant, and he gets this machine in his shop, and the money is transferred right away in his account. So this is a kind of service, and they are charging him.
They name it interest. The 2%.
Yeah, and there is something. This is a good point you are making here. There is a good point here. What the brother is saying, they are naming it interest. Some few things are named interest in this society. They are not riba. And things that are named profit are interest. So what is the criteria?
Profit and interest are two different things.
I know. But there are things that are named interest in this society, in this culture, They are not riba. They are not haram. They are halal, but some of them are not named interest, but they are riba.
Tfaddal akhi. Two partners, one is investing capital money, carrying on expertise. Halfway, they don't get loan. One wants to buy the other out. They call it here in the West.
So one would like to buy the share of the other one.
They don't get long.
Yeah.
Buy him out.
Very common, yeah.
So it is permissible?
Yeah, it is permissible, yeah.
I just give you, just like that, you know, out of the blue, $50,000 you go.
Yeah, no problem with that. So two partners having business, they establish business together, they are partners, and they don't get along, and at some point they decided that one of them would buy the share of the other one. There is nothing wrong with that.
As long as they agree.
Yeah, of course, they agree, yeah.
But
of course.
You said that one made the full investment, the other one has his expertise, right?
His
expertise. Yeah. Well, here, they have to...
Working together.
Yeah, if it is a partnership, you know, when someone provides the capital and the other one is not providing anything, it could be musharaka, it could be mudaraba. Mudaraba is easy to calculate it. Mudaraba is I own the capital, and you came with your expertise. You are the entrepreneur, but I am not allowed to be involved in the business. I'm not allowed to be. I am a capital provider. This is mudaraba, and it's easy to calculate it. If there is a profit, there should be an agreement between the two parties how to divide the profit. And the capital is always the ownership of the capital provider. But if they decide to have musharaka and the other one is involved, that's another issue. It depends on how, what they bought with this money and...
At the beginning, they will save the capital for the investor, and they will share split evenly the profit. Halfway through, they don't get loan.
But the problem in musharaka, you cannot guarantee the capital. You cannot guarantee. ضَمَانُ الشَّرِيكِ لِحِصَّةِ شَرِيكِهِ. You cannot guarantee. You cannot tell him, you know, this is your capital, and it is saved. You have your whatever profit we make, we're going to share it. You know, you cannot guarantee the profit. If there is musharaka, this case, I don't know if it is valid in this way or not. I have to double check.
Not guaranteed precisely, but just whatever we make as a profit, we split it in two.
Yeah, but the capital is always guaranteed.
Guaranteed for the investor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the problem, you cannot do that. You cannot guarantee the what will happen if there is a loss.
No, let's say it is successful business. There is no loss.
Yeah, it could happen. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I will look into it. Inshallah, I will look into it. It's a good point he's making, Yanni. We have to just try to look into this. There is a question that the brother made here before 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago. If someone buys something with the intention of returning it, okay? And we have something similar in Zawaj also. Zawaj biniyat al-talaq. Getting married with the intention of divorcing. This is different than mut'a. It's not mut'a, but it's haram. And I believe it's haram. This is khut'a, cheating. But here in this case, because there is a disagreement about the other case, I said maybe I should research it and see what the ulama said. So the fatwa that I found, that they said it's haram. Unless in their fatwa, that the business owner agrees with this condition, that he's fine with that. And I thought about it, who would be fine with that? You sell something, who would be fine with selling something to someone else, expecting him to return it after 2 days? You know for sure, for a fact, that he will return. I'll give you an example that happened. A brother told me, a group of brothers, he came from Vancouver, They bought a GPS in Vancouver, and they came here to Calgary, and they went to the same shop, the same company, and they returned it. So the ulama, they said, you cannot do it. It's haram. Buying something with the intention of returning it in this, you know, during the period of option, when you have the option to return this, yeah. Wallahu ta'ala alam.
The question is like in terms of percentage of loss at the time of sale, if there's a loss, and you said it needs to be based on the actual capital between those two partners. If one of the partners is a borrower and the creditor is giving money and the borrower doesn't have a choice to negotiate, saying, okay, you're saying that it needs to be, in your example, 90% and 10%, but instead of that, by Sharia, it needs to be based on the capital. So I don't have.
I know what you mean. Choice. I know what you mean, yeah.
So what is the way out?
Well, the problem is the ulama, they are saying not valid. The brother is saying, yani, we have a partnership, and then you know, the loss, the percentage of the loss that should be borne by each party is not equivalent to the percentage of the investment, and it is an adhesion contract that was like he has no say in it. This is leave it, take it or leave it. A company that is offering this, you know, contracts and agreements to Muslim clients. And they don't have a choice. So based on what some ulama are saying, the contract is not valid. This is what... But you shouldn't take any action. Let's see and wait. Maybe there is... I don't know. Maybe you should call them. I know what you mean. Which company you're talking about. Maybe you should call them and see what is your argument about that. What is your foundation? What is your basis? On what basis you are doing this? You know what I mean?
Inshallah.
Wait a minute, because it's fine, just give a chance to other people. Yes, brother, at the end. Ma'alish, yeah?
My question is about the Prophet ratio. I understand that Imam Ahmad and Abu Hanifa said it's flexible. And before that, you mentioned that if a partner participated in the management, they should get a salary. These two points to collect. Isn't it better to get a ratio that's equal to the capital?
Yeah, I said that Imam Ahmad and Imam Ahmad, he said it's based on their agreement. So it's not; it shouldn't be equivalent to their investment, to the ratio of their investment. But when it comes to salary, the ulama, they said it is okay, it is fine if it is done based on a different agreement. It is not part of the partnership. The ratios in the partnership are as they are. They don't deal with them. They leave them as they are. Mathalan, his ratio of profit is 20%, for example. But he has some knowledge about this business and he wants to work in this business as a manager. So he has the right to apply like an outsider to be a manager in the same business and to be paid a salary. Because if they don't have this manager, who is a partner at the same time, they should hire another one, someone from outside to be a manager if they don't want to be involved in it. You don't want to deal with this business. So the point is, it is halal to make one of the partners as a manager and give him a salary. And this is what many non-Muslims do it here in companies. They pay their daughters and their sons and their brothers, they pay them a salary. The same family, they own the business. They own the business. But everyone takes a salary because of his services. He's paid an hourly wages. At the end of the month, he will get a check like everyone in the company. But he's one of the owners. Which means, at the end of the year, when they do their math and they calculate their profit, they might take their shares or leave them in the company.
Well, since the salary is okay, isn't it better to fix the profit ratio and the capital? And then
pardon? Say it again?
So, isn't it better to go with Imam Malik and Shafi'i and make the ratio of profit equal to the ratio of capital? And if there is more skills, then give them salary instead. So if the loss happened, then it's always equal.
Yeah, but you cannot give a salary based on their skills. You give a salary based on the hourly, the time they spend in the company. You know what I mean? You don't say, مثلا, no, he has more skills. He'll be working in the company. Let's give him more. You can do that. But it's not really clear. Because you will end up going, following the opinion of Imam Ahmed and Abu Hanifa, if you give him something different than his initial investment. Because the Imam Shafi'i and Malik, they said, no, it has to be equivalent to their investment. Which doesn't make sense. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Yes, brother. You had a question? After him, inshallah, and then we...
Just talk on limitation of liability. Now, if you're in a construction industry and you hire some workers to do some work, in a contract between you and them, is it good to put a limitation of liability in terms of they would say, okay, if we cause any damage, we're only paying up to 100,000, but their damage is like 500,000, and you pay the rest. Is that a limitation of liability? Is there anything in Islam that... To limit the liability of the person, even though they're responsible for that damage. The damage was 500,000, but they said in the contract we agreed to limit of 100,000.
Yeah. I'm not sure about this. This is something that we, inshallah, look into it. But what we have here in the Canadian society, in the Canadian market, if there is a potential risk with this kind of liability, usually people buy insurance. And there is insurance for professionals and for different types of workers, and they buy insurance. They don't leave it as it is, you know, without any protection.
They do, but it's the insurer of the owner and the insurer of the subcontractor are two different insurers.
Yeah.
So when they put a limit,
the insurance company would always put a limit. If it depends on how much money you are contributing into how much premiums you are paying to the company, and it depends on the agreement between the company and the insurance company. But when it comes to individual agreement, like doing a mutual agreement between the owner of the business and the worker, do we have this concept in Islam, like limiting the liability? I've never seen it in the books of fiqh. You know what I mean? That's a different issue. But here in the modern world, they buy insurance for these kind of risks. Wallahu ta'ala alam. But this is worth searching, inshallah.
Is it permissible to distribute the profit ratios, like differ them according to your profit margin, as long as the silent partners aren't getting more than their invested share? So if you must run for like $10,000, it's one-fourth, and two-fourths with the other person. And then for $20,000, you have a different profit bracket. You have different ratios to divide the profit. It's permissible to do that?
Based on the capital, the amount of the capital?
No, based on the profit margin, right? So you have different profit market? Profit market. As long as the silent partners, his ratio is not more than his capital investment. Is that something that's permissible?
As long as a sleeping partner doesn't get... So he said, the brother is saying the question here, is it permissible to have different different ratios for different amounts of profit? Like for 10,000, everyone will get one a certain amount. If it is 20,000, is it very common here? And they do it here in Canada?
Well, yeah, it just depends. It was like the brother over there. He kind of raised this question because instead of a lump sum, you're getting a profit, right?
Yeah. But I'm just thinking about why they would do something like that. If you get 10,000 of profit, you get this percentage, 20% from 10,000. If it is 20,000, you may end up getting a different ratio, which is 30%. Why? What's the reason?
Maybe to incentivize if you're working in sales or something like that.
Because you can differentiate, right? So for example, if it's between 10,000 and 1,000, you can make it so you get a small share of it. So the people who are working or whatever just get a small share. But for the next bracket, instead of getting 1/4, they get 1/3.
Oh, to encourage the partners to... to work harder, and the sleeping partners will get only their their investment. It will be equivalent to the ratio of their investment. Yani Allahu alam, I'm not sure. There's something that inshallah, I'm not sure about it. It's not clear to me. 7:08. We'll leave you till next halaqa, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan. بارك الله فيكم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت نستغفرك ونتوب اليك